Welcome to the latest edition of the Consilio Better Places podcast. In this episode, Managing Director Nick Dines is joined by Michelle Sachs, Chief Executive of Huntingdonshire District Council, and Charlotte Horobin, CEO of the Cambridge Chambers of Commerce. They discuss the critical role that areas beyond Cambridge play in powering the regional and national economy, from the strength of Peterborough and the market town, to the global significance of sectors like agri-tech, logistics and defence. The conversation explores how places like Huntingdonshire are not just supporting Cambridge's growth, but helping to shape a more balanced and resilient economic future for the whole of the UK. They also touch on planning reform, education, skills, and how to ensure growth delivers real community benefits. We do hope you enjoy this insightful episode.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Consilio Better Places podcast, where I'm delighted to be joined by Michelle Sachs and Charlotte Horobin this afternoon. Thank you both for joining us.
Hello.
Hi, Nick. Good afternoon.
Brilliant. Thank you. And I think it's worth a start. If you could both just kind of introduce yourself and which organisations you are representing today. Charlotte, yourself?
Yeah, good afternoon. Charlotte Horobin. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Cambridgeshire Chambers of Commerce. But like lots of people in these kinds of roles, I tend to wear lots of other hats as well because of the amazing initiatives I find myself getting involved in.
Brilliant. And Michelle?
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Michelle Sachs and I'm Chief Executive at Huntingdonshire District Council. That's my job, but what that encompasses is a whole range of different things. As such as Charlotte said, there's so many exciting opportunities and different projects in the mix that we're in a great position to be able to facilitate and support and bring forward through that collaboration different opportunities to come in on our patch.
And the theme very much for this conversation is to show what is outside of Cambridge. When people talk about Cambridgeshire, there is an automatic, it's natural because of the strength of the brand, if you like, of the university and everything that comes off of that, to talk about a broader Cambridgeshire. But, Cambridge does have a significant role in the UK economy, doesn't it, Charlotte? And it's a lot does flow from that. So it's probably best just to kind of give your perspective on how important Cambridge is before we move out to the wider county.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It would be an own goal to turn away from what is an absolutely world-beating, world-leading city, Cambridge, the fastest growing city consistently across the country. But really important to recognise the net growth it then also provides for the wider UK. So I think that's an important message, that we realise that Cambridge isn't just good at science and technology. It's the number one for science and technology by density globally. And we should really champion that, because that positive flow then of investment that benefits the wider UK economy, Cambridge is so important. But as you quite rightly pointed, when you add up the wider region, oh my goodness, that becomes so diverse and so magnificent. And no doubt Michelle will love to unpack some of the greater regional capability that we've got.
No, indeed. And just for completeness, it's South Cambs, Huntingdonshire, East Cambs, Fenland and Peterborough, and the other districts from an administrative perspective, which make up the county. And Michelle, you're here on behalf of Huntingdonshire District Council. But looking at the other districts, do you see it being helping to facilitate Cambridge's growth, or is it something bigger than that you see the role of the districts outside of Cambridge?
I think there's two things there, Nick. One, absolutely, it is to facilitate that continued expansion of the city. And again, not just Cambridge, but also Peterborough as well, which is a really important counterbalance in the north of the county. But equally, and I often have an expression I use, that the opportunities that the market towns bring in the districts, they act like the logistics supply chain to the cities, to be able to sort of source good talent, be able to operate spin outs from where, you know, you get great initiatives. And as Charlotte says, around that research as well, and the impact of the university in research and technology, being able to spin out from there, but also actually provide the space for people to live, to continue to work in the great cities. So you've got that aspect alone around, I say it's one of my favourite phrases, the logistics supply chain to support that growth. But equally, we see that ability to create space around the city areas. It provides good value space with the proximity of the fantastic opportunities that Cambridge brings. but enables expansion. And I can touch on some of those later, but really quickly, in advanced manufacturing, we see that for sure. We see defence particularly is a key topical area for the opportunities, but also agri-tech and logistics distribution. And indeed, one that probably isn't so obvious is our creative industries as well.
Charlotte, from the Chamber of Commerce perspective, again, I think people who associate Cambridgeshire because of Cambridge and South Cams, where IT and life science gets all the headlines. But as Michelle mentioned, there's a huge number of other sectors which are absolutely fundamental parts of the county's economy. How big a contribution do they make? Because I think most people wouldn't realise just the size of the agricultural, defence, advanced manufacturing, etc., which is in the region.
Yeah. Well, everybody should every Sunday, because we've got around about 30 to 40% of the grade one agricultural land in the country. So in terms of the growing and food production, that's really, really critically important. Our manufacturing employment is twice that of the national average. And I think that diversity is what's really important, because as economies go through highs and lows, you've got to have that diversity so that you are resilient. And ultimately, sectors such as food, they are resilient through ups and downs, because we all continue to eat just in different patterns. Sectors like manufacturing, critical to be able to drive our exports, which brings fresh revenue into the UK, as opposed to very important service sectors. But it's really important that we're bringing that additional cash and GVA into the country.
Brilliant. Just before we move on to Huntingdonshire in particular, Charlotte, I noticed when Paul Bristow became mayor, he was very keen to emphasise Peterborough, because most people don't think of Peterborough as being part of Cambridgeshire, and Huntingdonshire is nearer to Peterborough, so there is a more natural link. But what can you tell our audience really about the contribution Peterborough makes and why it should be seen as such a strong part of the region's economy?
Absolutely. So an industrial giant, and that means Peterborough has been the home of brick manufacturing, is a really good example. Again, something people may not know. And with the manufacturing stronghold, we've seen a really important logistics cluster build up, very well connected with the A1 and not too far from the A14. Again, the train line that runs past Peterborough, incredibly important, connecting London up to the north of England. But also, let's think about some of the really interesting points about Peterborough. It's got a beautiful medieval cathedral, which houses Catherine of Aragon, and did also have another queen buried there. We've got one of the best country parks in the country. Peterborough has got so much potential. It's a brilliant city, but people do need to come and visit what is such a beautiful place based on a river. And there's some really green shoots for the future, hence Mayor Paul Bristow is so excited about that opportunity that he knows better than most. Yep. As we look to regenerate the city with a new station quarter to make sure that we've got the sports facilities for a healthy workforce, healthy community, and then hopefully a healthy economy off the back of that.
Brilliant. And now moving on to Huntingdonshire, Michelle, what's your 30-second elevator pitch?
I think the first I would say is connectivity, for sure. So again, we nestle between both the city of Cambridge but the city of Peterborough as well. So actually, in terms of where we're able to be that logistics supply chain and also draw talent and skills, so definitely our connectivity, A1, A14, at £1.5 billion worth of investment into the A14, and that's made a huge difference. The East Coast mainline connectivity, but also now with East West Rail, that's really important at the bottom of the district and linking Cambridge, and us being a really key part of the new Oxcam cluster, that should not be underestimated. But then in terms of our connectivity to the universities, not just Cambridge University, but ARU as well. That's really important, again, and that's why we nestle quite beautifully in that part of the geography, where we can draw on that skill and expertise from the two universities to support the college and create a real growth pipeline of talent. And I think that's something that's a really good point as well. We understand where talent is required to support businesses to grow, but also choose to come and invest and move to us. And we work really closely with new enterprise and existing businesses to unlock talent and pipeline. But in terms of some of our, I would say we are a very positive and planning authority. So we're currently in our local plan, and we've been really thrilled that a number of sites have come forward, really good strategic deliverable sites, and we're partway through our local plan now, which just goes to show the interest our patch actually has in that wider UK part of where can we continue to thrive and build. But I think touching on some of the other aspects, as Charlotte said around Peterborough, we also have lots of country parks, so we have that quality of life as well, which actually is what we want. We want our communities to feel that as growth happens, the growth is beneficial for us. So for me, one of the things that we use really clearly is our growth strategy, which is our Huntingdonshire Futures. And there's the five journeys in there. And we use that to demonstrate to our communities and our partners and stakeholders that growth is not a bad thing, because growth is going to unlock inclusive economy around jobs for not just our young people, but those that are changing careers and jobs through their adult life. We want a cleaner, greener environment, so growth can deliver that. We want good connectivity, better health outcomes, and also that sense of pride in place. And we're really proud of Alconbury Weald as an example in terms of the standards that we expect our partner developers to adhere to. And actually, that is a fantastic standout scheme that has 10 years, you know, and has got, you know, since planning permission, and continues to grow and develop and to deliver significant housing. So I think there, you know, that's a real sort of 30 seconds. But in terms just of the way that we approach you as a partner, you know, we are really open as a council, because we want to talk to people. We want to hear what your ideas might be around growth, investment, inward investment, existing growth. You know, we have that proper open door policy that sometimes people say, oh, we've got an open door policy, but then you go knocking and it's resolutely closed. Ours genuinely is open, and we will welcome you with open arms. And we think that's a really strong pitch for us to, you know, for people to take a second look at us.
I think the British public is kind of unfairly characterised as NIMBYs, but if you actually look around at what's happening in the regions, with Huntingdon just being a prime example. I mean, your local plan is, I think, 20,000 new homes, 14,000 new jobs. That involves development, and it does involve new homes. And of course, there will always be issues on individual sites, but taken as a whole, there does appear to be an acceptance that if we're going to build the new homes we need and we'll create the jobs for our children, it should be in Huntingdonshire. And it is accepted. It's a bit of a myth, but we're all NIMBYs, I think.
It's really true. It's very true. But I think for me, that's how we are able to communicate and bring our communities with us. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when we were at UK Reef this year, Charlotte, it was really clear, wasn't it, from, you know, our pavilion with the combined authority, where we were all being hosted in there, that there's a strong ethos around, we don't want our communities to feel stuff is done to them. And we want them to be part of that evolution. And what was really great to hear from several speakers is that actually it's not a standalone. There's not a single point in time when you consult with your public around what you know, significant development can look like. And I think Rebecca Britton from Urban and Civic was really good at identifying this, and indeed Beth Dugdale as well, in terms of that engagement and communication with your communities should be an evolution, because, you know, when you start your consultation, there is nothing in the ground. But actually, you know, for large developments that are phased, each year there are a number of houses built and the community is developing and emerging. And therefore, you need to maintain that good communication. And you need to be transparent, because actually, if you don't show that through growth, you can get jobs, you know, and, you know, as parents and carers, we will be thinking about where are our children going to work, particularly in the current economic climate as well. And where will they continue to study if they should wish to, or where will they get their apprenticeship? And it's really important that we demonstrate that through the growth that we are seeking to unlock that potential. So there are real tangible benefits that our communities can say, yeah, do you know what? That development gave a job for Bob, or it gave, you know, or little Johnny here was able to get an apprenticeship, or, you know, my sister was made redundant after 20 years in retail, but now she's been able to retrain and she works here. Those are really tangible benefits that strip away some of the negativity around growth and highlight actually the benefits, real tangible benefits to communities.
And Charlotte, obviously all the districts within your area are special and all are equally brilliant. But if you were to say from a business perspective, what makes Huntingdonshire attractive for location in terms of starting up a business or spin-offs from the university looking for bigger space, so I know I come into the district, what would you say are Huntingdonshire's kind of unique selling points?
Well, I think that's where I'm really keen. We talk about always Cambridge and Peterborough, not all the two cities combined, making an absolutely amazing duo. And in between, we've then got this amazing space, as you know, Michelle describes the supply chain, that you're able to find affordable good land, that you're able to find, you know, the right economic space to be able to develop, but also to make sure you've got the right housing, that you've got those active transport and travel routes, that we've got the education that goes alongside it. You've then got this wonderful patch in between of Huntingdonshire that is also really well connected. You know, we've got such a significant port down in Felixstowe, the A14, going right the way past Huntingdonshire and up into the Midlands and the North. So again, a brilliant region, a brilliant part of the wider region that is also supporting growth in the Midlands, in the North of England.
Yeah, obviously, Michelle, we've got a local plan going through. You can't talk about specific sites, but in terms of the sectors which you were seeing looking to coming to Huntingdonshire, are there any particular standouts at the moment?
Obviously, because of our road networks, logistics and supply chain is a really key one. And why wouldn't it be, you know, with the A1 and the A14 as an example, and the links there, as Charlotte said, straight to the ports. I think it's worth mentioning that Huntingdonshire has a sweet spot where we are a single day's drive there and back from the three major ports. Now, again, in terms of importing, that makes us a sweet spot, so you'd expect to see that. But we also see growth coming through in advanced manufacturing. Life sciences would not be a surprise either. And also a defence. And again, we're working really closely with colleagues in our combined authority around the local growth plan, specifically around the opportunities for defence. Because again, we are one of those unique places. We've got Alconbury, RAF Alconbry, RAF Witten. We have Molehill, which is the American air base, which is seeing the largest investment by the American government since the Second World War in a non-American, you know, like a non-outside the USA's assets as such. And that's phenomenal in terms of what's actually then achievable in terms of the supply chain that comes around the investment in defence, both for advanced manufacturing, but also for the technology, for the opportunities around different skills that the industry and the emerging sector requires. So yes, we have, we're seeing, and obviously, of course, house building as well. And I think that was something that we've been really clear about. We understand the need for housing on a UK national level, but it's really important that when housing is developed within Huntingdonshire, we understand and our partner developers understand that must also have jobs associated with that, not just construction of house building, but where are those people who are going to live in those houses going to work? And that's not necessarily they're going to work in Cambridge or in Milton Keynes or Bedford. We want them to have those opportunities for good, high-skilled employment within the Huntingdonshire area as well. And we're seeing that come through.
And with respect to the skills agenda, certainly for post-18, again, people naturally think Cambridgeshire, they think the university within Cambridge. But Charlotte, Michelle, you've both mentioned Anglia Ruskin's university's kind of crucial role in ensuring the workforce has the skills from, you know, for advanced manufacturing, for defence, etc. All of these new industries, really, which are coming to the region. I think, Charlotte, from your perspective, what does Anglia Ruskin offer, again, which people probably aren't aware of in relation to the university space?
Well, again, you know, fun fact, just backtracking for a moment, we've got one of the oldest universities in the world and one of the youngest universities and therefore agile and innovating at pace with both the University of Cambridge and ARU, with, you know, great campus in Cambridge, but ARU Peterborough opened in recent years and has just seen its first full graduation take place, which is magnificent for a city like Peterborough, because actually that will offer opportunities for communities that previously did not have access to that type of education and therefore a certain career routes. But ARU, really critical across the region. But I think it's important to recognise that we've got a rich tapestry of amazing educators. We spend a lot of time as part of the local skills improvement plan, where we can getting our educators to collaborate and to make sure that whilst we've got a region that is set to grow so magnificently with Universal Studios on the horizon, the Fens Reservoir, East-West Rail, how do we make sure that those educators understand what skills at the right time in the right place so that we don't end up with 20,000 scaffolders all trained, but rather we're able to develop those centres of excellence, providing the next generation with an amazing career. But as Michelle rightly pointed to earlier on, also we've got to recognise that need for cross-skilling and upskilling, particularly as we're all working longer and not having, you know, a 50-year career doing X.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Michelle, you've been spearheading, I think, quite close links with ARU to ensure that school leavers in Huntingdonshire are aware of the opportunities that there are at ARU.
Absolutely. We work really closely from, again, back to the Inwood Investment proposition, that when we do meet with potential Inwood investors, we're really clear that we want ARU with us at the table because they're able to demonstrate the opportunities to both those that may be looking to see where their talent's coming from, but how do we make sure our young people know about those opportunities? And I think particularly degree apprenticeships that Anglia Ruskin is really spearheading is fantastic, actually, for our young people. Again, it's about access to learning. And, you know, we are predominantly, we have our towns, but we are a very large district and we have a large amount of rural residents. You know, we've got lots of villages there. And sometimes access, as Charlotte said, access to different opportunities in the skills and training and learning can be barriers. So therefore, knowing that you can access really good quality learning at that next stage in Peterborough actually becomes attainable for our young people, because they don't need to move away from home. They can do that. And actually, that's really important when we see the amazing talent in our young people. And I think one of the things, just as an aside, we need to be working with the schools as well. So we've had a couple of great days in the last couple of months where we've had students, again, fantastic. One of our fantastic businesses, MM Flowers. We worked with MM Flowers to be able to offer to one of the secondary schools a day where we had 60 pupils, 60 year 10 pupils spent a morning. So we split them into two cohorts, 30 and 30. So in the morning, the 30 spent their time at MM Flowers, rather. And then we had the 30 with us, and then we swapped. And when they were with us, we had them doing planning. We got them to plan what a town would look like, what they would expect to see. So we actually had them, from a curriculum point of view, using their built environment geography GCSE in practical terms. And actually to see those young people excited about what is a planning career, when we know that we've got a real shortage of planning personnel coming through the system. And also the ability to see what being in a business such as MM Flowers, which is one of the really high performing businesses in the UK. And again, if you buy your flowers from M&S, you will most certainly have had flowers that were packed and put into their bouquets in Huntingdonshire, up at Alconbury, so anywhere where you may be in the country. So again, it's really important that we're able to showcase those opportunities to our young people. And again, just a few weeks ago, we had Red Bull come into one of our schools at Hinchinbrook. And again, it's that aspiration for our young people, the art of the possible, in terms of, and I should say that's Red Bull, obviously, motor. But the sponsorship of the Red Bull motor industry team. Again, being able to work, using our power to convene as a council and working with businesses to say, come and show our young people, because that's where we can get that growth of talent, retain our young people, excite and enthuse them. And then what fantastic advocates they're going to be as they mature and they take part of and want to share and influence the place in which they live as well.
I think it's showcasing the range of jobs as well, isn't it, Charlotte? Because when you think about logistics, you automatically think lorries and driving. As well as those, however, you know, when you go to the logistics hub, there's mezzanine levels where the accounts team are, the HR team, the marketing.
Absolutely.
Team, everybody and anybody. And there must be, it's not just a shed. It is actually providing great career jobs. People And it kind of gets lost that when you're talking about some sectors.
It does. And I think that's what's, I'll touch on MM Flowers again, because that's a really good example, because yes, they're, you know, it's about the stems, but they're great importers. They grow within the UK as well. But that means they have marketing, PR, HR. They have overseas opportunities for, you know, for their employees to go overseas to visit the farms. So there's a whole range of different aspects. And then particularly when we work in, as Charlotte said earlier on about the percentage of our agricultural land, I used to use an analogy of if you drive past a field and see a cabbage, that's all you see, a cabbage. But actually behind that cabbage, there is an international business. There's import, export. There is exactly all those lists of skills and jobs that are required. And I think the other thing around logistics is what's really interesting. People might think, oh, it's just a big shed. But actually the automation and robotics that now you see in the logistics industry is phenomenal. And actually the skills that are required to support that are very, very different from what people may traditionally think is a logistics sector. It's not. It's because all those robotics and automation, they all need maintaining, data analysts, engineers, all of that, which opens up a whole different career path for young people who may not be aware of that. And indeed, as we've alluded to, you know, those who are changing career midlife. And if we look at the pension age about to be raised again, this becomes really important that actually you can see that you may have two or three or four careers during a 50, perhaps 60 year working life now. So perhaps 50, if I stick with 50 years. That sounds less depressing then, doesn't it?
It's a long time ahead of us. Charlotte, from your perspective, I mean, Huntingdonshire and Cambridgeshire, I guess, it is actually ideally placed to help turbocharge both sectors of the economy.
Oh, yeah, I mean, even just focusing on Huntingdonshire with having the benefit of Michelle in the room, as Michelle was just speaking then, I thought, well, if you've watched Formula One, had certain brands of chocolate, bought flowers or played golf in the last week, you have been touched by Grand Huntingdonshire. And that is amazing. And if you can't see it, you can't be it. So being able to showcase these amazing opportunities, and you're quite right to point to, you know, mechatronic engineers, data analysts. These are, you know, evolving. I'm cautious to say new jobs. I think we get really excited about talking about the unknown jobs of the future. I think for me, they're more an evolution. But there's some really highly skilled, highly paid careers for, you know, people that are wanting to come and work in our region.
Brilliant. Yeah. We've got maybe end on just a kind of local government and government agenda and reforms. And as I said, not talk about reforms in here, but they are coming. We're getting unit trees. We've got a mayor. What would be your ask? When everything's settled down, what would you like to see from kind of, you know, unitary regional government? What could they best do to help unleash Huntingdonshire and the opportunities that are available? And Charlotte, maybe over to you to start. Yeah. What's your ask?
For business, it's always consistency and stability. The more ability we're able to show a long-term, a strong North Star that we can all march towards, I think it makes it easier for us to deal with the shocks of the day. I recently had a great privilege through our strong working with the British Chambers of Commerce to ask the Prime Minister directly, because the big issues for our businesses we're talking to, how did he intend to unlock the opportunity that resides within our region by investing in infrastructure, by making sure that planning delays are tackled and making sure that we've got the housing. So for us, consistency, stability, make sure that we invest in those big projects. But also, let's not overlook global trade. As a Chamber of Commerce, it's really important for us to inspire, educate, but support businesses to grow for the reasons that I stated earlier on. If not, we don't bring new money into the UK. And let's not forget those taxes that business pay go towards making sure that our, you know, roads are running, that we've got the NHS functioning and supporting community. I think it's so important we reiterate that business is a force for good, and it does support you know, good community growth. So very long-winded answer, but stability, consistency, and all of those kind of pillars that I've described would be our ask.
Michelle, what about yourself? When the dust has settled, how can, I guess, the regional authority and government best assist people living in Huntingdonshire?
for me, it's around some of the freedoms and flexibilities that have been, you know, that come through greater devolution. Because with our mayor, being able to make decisions around locally that doesn't perhaps get caught up on national timescales or national budget sessions, you know, in terms of those checks and balances. And I think really being able to have the opportunity to work at pace as a region so that we can progress, because I think however the dust settles, we will be left with that ambition that is here now. And I think that ambition will just crystallise further and become even more focused. And therefore, we're going to want to work at pace. So how is government going to support the ability for those in the system to be able to work at pace, to unlock that opportunity that Charlotte has referred to, and be able to support our businesses? Because the one thing our business, you know, if you think about the planning delays to the system, that is one of the biggest bugbears in terms of the amount of investment that's required in terms of being able to get a planning permission. And whilst we're in that, you know, that system now, I'm really proud in Huntingdonshire that we really understand that and we seek to work at pace to unlock that. But for me, it's not dissimilar to just to reiterate to what Charlotte said, stability. You know, having a stable environment is what enables people to be able to be innovative, to be able to take some additional risk in terms of landing things, because the environment is stable. When it's volatile, people are more risk adverse, quite rightly, because the volatility adds another layer of risk in terms of business. And for our residents, being able to work at pace, create a stable environment and unlock those potentials, I go right back to our place strategy. That is those issues and those factors in place means we're better able to deliver what our residents want and what our communities want to enable them to continue to thrive and flourish.
Brilliant. Well, I think with Cambridgeshire, Peterborough, the road networks, the rail networks and everything which is available in the county, I think it's clearly that the future's bright for Cambridgeshire.
It most certainly is. I just, you know, I mean, I jokingly say that we're the centre of the universe because I'm completely biased. But actually, when you just list it out, we are, and actually we're able to really take the benefit of all of the, from Huntingdonshire's point of view, we're able to take the benefits that having the two cities brings us, and particularly Cambridge from having that international global status, but we're able to really tap into that across a whole range of sectors. That means, you know, we've got that space to be able to support and support our communities. And I say it's about thriving and flourishing for our communities.
Brilliant. Well, thank you both very much for your time this afternoon. Look forward to speaking to you again in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the latest edition of Consilio's Better Places podcast. If you didn't already know it, Consilio is the leading built environment communications agency. So make sure you subscribe to hear future episodes of the podcast and to make sure you hear about all things affecting the built environment in the UK. Thank you.